So listeners, welcome back now to part two of our podcast with Three Men for Thee in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Alan, since you're with us in part two here, how about going ahead and opening us with prayer in part two of our podcast with Colleen?
Very good. I'll be glad to. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for brothers here on the podcast that we can talk about you and talk about things that are important to you. And Lord, I pray that as we talk with Kaleem here, that you will be lifted up and honored and glorified in all the questions and in everything that's being said. And take this message out to across the radio land, and maybe it will reach someone out there that is seeking you, or somebody that has a lot of questions that wants to know more about you. That's what this podcast is about, is to draw people to you. So that's the only thing we want to do here, is honor and glorify you. And I want to thank you. I didn't get to hear everything that Brother Khalid had said earlier, but I'm glad to call him my brother. I know enough about it right now, and so I'm thankful for that. So continue to bless our time, and you share and get us to talk about the things you want to talk about. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, Kaleem, if you wouldn't mind, just go ahead and pick up and tell us a little bit about some of your mission trips abroad. How many people go? You mentioned some of the cities you go to. If there can be contributions made to your fundraising events to help over there.
Organization. What is the organization?
Well, I mean, we just built what we call, you know, we give it a name, Rebridge. And it's the arm of New Canaan Society, missional arm, you know, that we've been, you know, serving the Lord on mission. Okay. But always we've been like a small section under the nonprofit that we have here, Vine Branch, which is I'm aboard on it, you know, the Vine Branch. We just a nonprofit, you know, that works, do our work for us here as a New Canaan Society, Winston-Salem. But then we decided we grew the international mission, especially the one to the Middle East, so big now. We need to put some structure for it to survive and to move forward. You know, because I know I kind of don't like much organization, because it seems like the more we organize the stuff, the more we're not depending on the Spirit of God.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't think, you know, if you want something to last, I believe you do have to put some structure around it so it could stand by itself and, you know, don't depend on one, two, or three people, you know. So you just build support to it, bring more people to, and that's what we just did this year, you know. But what we care, we build an amazing portfolio. The past 13 years, you know, being on the ground, usually people, they start with the organization, they start with the newsletter, they start with the website. We started in mission. We started just, you know, going there, visiting these places. And, you know, it's the call, not because I'm from the Middle East. You see, lots of people think that, you know, I'm from the Middle East, that's why I have the heart for the Middle East. That's why I'm going back. Let me tell you, when I came to this country here, I did not want to go back. I mean, you know, remember, we're hurt. They burned our homes. You know, they killed many of my friends. And now, even when I go back there, that's not my home anymore. It's like a bittersweet to us. You know, we go there, this is not our land. They took it over. You know, just there's just so much hurt that comes from that, you know. But it's a call. It's the same call. You know, it's so many people say, oh, yeah, you know, Africa, you know, why don't we go? Okay, good for you. Go to Africa, India. Yeah, go to India, go to China, go to the whole world. That's what God said. But the Middle East always been a special place. Not for me. Don't trust me. Trust the Bible. I mean, look, Abraham, starting with our father, Abraham, right? What did he do? He was called from all the Chaldeans. He said, leave your family, leave your people, and go to the promised land. Okay?
Yeah.
Look, the whole gospel is around that. It's that land right there, you know. And then you see Joseph, you see Moses, same thing, Joseph. You know, I mean, he has to leave. But where did he say? He said, please bury me there. Take my bones, bury me back there. Mm-hmm. Same thing, Moses took his whole people there. And then into captivity, you know, when they went to Babylon, you know, we're talking about Daniel and Esther and all these, and then, you know, rebuilding the walls, you know, and in Jerusalem. So it's always been this pull for God's people for that land. You know, even your people, I'm talking, you know, in Europe, you know, your ancestors, when they heard about, you know, a city like Jerusalem and the city of Antioch been surrounded by Muslim armies, what did your people do? They created crusades, number one, two, and three, and four crusades, you know, men with honor, and you know, they said, let's go, we need to defend these brothers, you know, in the Middle East, you know, we need to in Antioch. And they went with on a holy war. But maybe we didn't do it the right way because war and killing and stuff like that. But then your people here. See, we do have evangelical church over there now. I mean, we were dominant in Christians, you know, in the first century, second century, third century. You know, we were all Christians in the Middle East. There were no Muslims there. Mm-hmm. On the 5th century, they were all Christian land there, you know, from Turkey, always, all around the Middle East, you know, to all Christian land. But what happened? And what happened, you know, that we lost it there? Why did we lose the land? Why? Because we didn't repent. It's obvious. It's every time. You know, we lose the track, we lose our ways, you know, to God, and we become a form of godliness, but denying its power. There's a verse in the Bible that says, you know, we become like a form of godliness. We like Sunday mornings, you know, going to church, going back, but really we're denying the power of the gospel. We're, you know, we're not sharing it on the street with the widows and the orphans and the going part, you know. So the Lord called us 13 years ago to go back, and we start going back, you know, just, you know, saying to some of the men here in Winston-Salem, what's going on? You know, you guys want to go on a trip? Let's go. Let's go see what's going on to the brothers in Syria. We went several times before the civil war to Syria. We made friends with pastors, you know, wonderful pastors doing amazing work in Damascus.
Colleen,
you know, yeah.
Now that we know what your mission field is, and by the fact that we have an international audience, would you like to say something in Arabic? Because this may be viewed by people in the Middle East as well. Do you have a message you'd like to give in your native tongue to those that might listen?
انه اطلعوا على الرب يسوع له كل المجد اله اله عظيم واله ولا كل الالهه اوكي هرب بس
اوكي I don't know what you said.
God bless you too.
Yeah.
I said don't listen to these guys. Don't listen.
Oh, okay. That was very wise.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Is there a pretty good Muslim presence here in Winston-Salem?
Yeah, I mean, they're all over, but they live invisible to us, you know, and they, you know, I when I ran away from actually slaughter in the Middle East, but I don't look at myself as a victim. You know, it's the worst thing. You know, you're like, oh, woe me, you know, we lost our land in Galilee, then we lost our land in Lebanon, you know, right? You know, our people, you know, we have this zeal, but what kept us going is family. You know, we have strong family. We come from strong family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you see, you know, other minority here and there, you know, like here in the United States, just, you know, because the family is not there, they're having a hard time getting up, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had strong family, so we support each other really well, you know, and that's how we survived it. And then, of course, with Jesus. What was that question, Alan, you asked me?
Oh, I was asking you, is there a very big presence of Muslims here in the area?
There are. They have, I think, like 3 mosques or 4 mosques now here in the area. There's a healthy community of Muslim people. They're largely very peaceful people and wonderful people. You know, the people are very nice. But the religion, you know, if you're going to follow the religion, you know, there is some, like, really some crazy factors in it, you know, where it's...
Jihad.
Yeah. But, you know, I have changed my stand, you know. I mean, I could say it in front of everyone. I used to say when, for 30 plus years here in the United States, you know, I mean... Muslim people are good people, but the religion, you know, but now I don't feel Islam, you know, does any kind. It's not a factor of danger on the Western civilization anymore. People are running from the Middle East. People looking for shelter. There are people running away. You know, we have stories of conversions. Tens of thousands of them all over. I'll tell you something. I mean, you know, last year I took my wife, Paula, down to Paris, you know, for a week, just on a nice, you know, week, me and her, you know, just away from work, away from what we do. I called Jihad, one of our partners in Eastern Lebanon. I said, Pastor Jihad, who do we have doing the good work in Paris? I didn't know any Parisian, you know, pastor or anyone, you know, that I could just check on him and do a ministry with him that week when I'm down there. I called Jihad in Eastern Lebanon. They planted 3 churches through the refugee programs, you know, the Syrian refugees coming to Lebanon, you know, and then through the United Nations, they're plugging them in different European countries. And they're accepting, many of them accepting the Lord in Lebanon. And then when time for them to go to Sweden, to France, to England, to Spain, to Italy, they're going there, they're planting churches. So when I was in Paris, I, you know, Pastor Jihad gave me 3 names of, you know, wonderful brothers and sisters who came from the Muslim background, and they planted churches in Paris.
There's a great Muslim presence in Paris.
Yeah, and I speak Arabic, and you know, I speak some. My wife is fluent in French. I speak a little bit of French, but I spoke mostly Arabic in Paris, mm-hmm, because of the many Arabs, you know, on the Arabic speaking people. Yeah. And the church, you know, we need to wake up. You know, he's knocking, he's saying, you know, you can't hide the light. We've been hiding in our sanctuaries,
yeah,
you know, for so long, and doing this Christianity, you know, where, okay, we contract a mission pastor to do his mission work, whatever, and, you know, us, you know, we just go there on Sunday, pay a little bit of money, we support a ministry here, ministry there, and that's it. But
yeah,
I think the when I remember I became a Christian like 28 years ago, I thought we all became like kingly priests,
yeah,
a holy nation, all called for ministry. There's none who's not called. But somehow we split that church, you know, and they call us, I think, lame. Lay.
Lay pastors.
Yeah.
Well, some are lame.
I don't like the word lay. I don't. It's an insult to me now. I mean, because they're telling you you're not ordained. You're not a priest. You know? No, sir. You know, we all
Jesus ordained
priests.
Us. Jesus ordained us.
We all
us.
Could enter his presence now because of that precious blood, the blood of Jesus. You know, we could enter his presence, the Father's presence. You know?
Yes.
Because that's the priesthood. You know, that's the priesthood we have. You know, we could enter the presence of this amazing Father who could do we, and we bring our prayers to him. We bring our you know, Lord, you know, my you know, I have a brother-in-law who's just, they found some cancer everywhere, you know, and they just found out, you know, we could enter his chamber and say, Lord, you know, heal my, please, Lord, have mercy on my brother-in-law, Samir, you know, and bring healing into his life. You know, please pray for my brother-in-law. That's priesthood.
Yeah.
And that's where we, in the church, we lost this partnership between the pulpit and the pews, you know. We lost that partnership, you know, because we're sitting on the pew saying, oh, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do this. And they're looking at us saying, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, you just talk to us. You know, you're not doing anything, you know.
Yeah.
But we all are guilty.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we all are not blaming it on the clergy. Now it seems like even evangelicals, they call themselves back to clergy, you know, and you know, we're back to these terms where I come from. I come from the Catholics. I know what clergy means.
Yeah.
You know, the clergy are, we're not clergy, okay? The clergy is these people who represent God on earth, you know, that's it. We're not clergy, you know, we're just
right.
People who goes there and they pray for us. Clergy pray for us.
Well, Kaleem, we have a huge class of prayer warriors. May we put your brother-in-law on our prayer list?
Let me give you a list, brother, of things to pray for.
Well, that's fine.
Of course, and of course, I mean, if you're not thinking that this is could be the time, I don't know if you're familiar with Isaiah 19. It's a prophecy about Egypt and how one day it's going to be a highway between Egypt and Assyria, and there will be altars for the living God all around there. We're praying that prayer, you know. I mean, this prophecy never happened before, but and it never, I mean, we never had altars all over that area for the living Lord yet. But I mean, we're praying that. I don't know if you're familiar with what happened last week with the peace treaty between Israel and United Arab Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great thing. I mean, you know, we're praying for Lebanon. Hopefully we'll have a peace treaty with Israel. Hopefully one day.
Right.
And you know, this could be it. Could be, you know, that time where, you know, peace will reign over there, and we are free to move in these countries where we could reach out to many people. We partnered with Pastor Muhammad Yamut in Tyre, you know, city of Sidon and Tyre. We have a brother, his name is Pastor Muhammad Yamut, and he is in southern Lebanon. He went to 100% Muslim neighborhood. Actually, not a regular Muslim neighborhood. It's Hezbollah, if you've heard of this terrorist organization in Lebanon. It's 100%, you know, Shiites, Muslim, and 100% Muslim neighborhood. And this brother came there to love on the poor, to love on the refugees, to love on the people. And he opened the Center for Proclamation of the Gospel with a big sign in front of his small shop at the time, 7-8 years ago. Small sign, you know, sign saying the in Arabic and in English. And we thought he's not gonna last a few days, Now, 7 years later, we have a clinic. We have an orphanage there. We have a church. It's Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's legally the entire church. You know, we have a church there in that neighborhood.
Wow.
It really impacted the whole thing. And even, I mean, you know, everybody, all the neighborhood really respect us there. And all these wonder, I mean, these people, I mean, remember Muslims, if you turn from Islam to Christianity, your blood should be shed. Okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. They okay to kill you. Okay. Because you're a murtad.
Yeah.
The word murtad, the Muslims know what's the word mean. And you know, the sentence for it is death. You know, like, you know, you could kill someone who comes out. And guess what? He's there. He's loving on their widows and orphans. They don't know what to do with him. And he's there. And he tells us, you know, I mean, they could kill him too. I mean, this is this is another subject I want to talk to you about, guys. It's like, what's this Christianity now we believe in? You know, that Christianity that got us to where we are right now, it cost blood. 11 out of the 12 disciples, they died by the sword.
Yep, they were martyred.
Similar. You know, and still now, people every day die for the name of Christ. I know that all the time that's happening. We have a brother that we support in north of Lebanon. His name is Mahfoud. He comes, his background, he used to be a really crazy man. He wants to die. He wanted to die. He became like one of the, you know, he went to be in the army, Lebanese army, became a commandos, and he got shot like 6-7 times because he was so depressed and he was so much on drugs. And guess what? The Lord said, you're my, and now this guy is a complete amazing, brave brother who goes into some places where, you know, he goes into Syria sometime. He goes into these Muslim areas where nobody can enter, you know, and lots of converts. Half of the people who accepted the Lord, they became martyrs. Because many of them, you know, like used to be with ISIS, you know, used to be with Al-Qaeda and stuff like that. And they became Christians. They went telling everyone in the neighborhood. There's one family, and this is recent, you know, there's one, you know, they got so excited about their conversion. They brought in a small tub. They moved it from the bathroom. They put the tub in the living room, and the husband, and they invited all their you know, cousins, all their brothers and their sisters, the two couple, and they got baptized in front of all of them. A week later, they came. And they killed both of these, and they cut their necks like this, you know,
yeah.
Both the father and the wife. I mean, in front of the families, they got all the families said, this is what will happen to you.
Yeah.
And this is the true story. There's another story of one guy who the Lord just changed his life. You know, his father hanged him in front of the mosque on one of these electrical poles. Just to say, you know, like, look how this is my honor. His father, his real father, hanged him, killed him. And on stories of what happened, you know, like many people in the Middle East. And we, you know, lots of people say, is there any Christians there? Is there any? Yes. And there, the Lord is not leaving, doesn't leave himself without witnesses, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere in the Middle East, we have these brave souls. You know, we have partners in Antioch, city of Antioch. You know, the great city of Antioch, the book of Acts, the first missionaries. Last year, you know, from the same beach where Barnabas and Paul left on their first mission ever. And they prayed on them in Antioch, the church of Antioch, and they sent them. You know, it's been dark there for 1,500 years. Dark. I mean, there's no one there, no one. I mean, there's some few brothers here and there, but the whole area there, they slaughtered. I mean, you know, Turks slaughtered and they just ran away all the Christians in that area. Remember, this is Antioch. This is where Christianity started. Right on that beach, there's a small resort. Last year, we sponsored, you know, few local Christian churches, Turkish churches, that they wanted to do like a retreat for Turkish mothers and their children. So last year, praise God, earlier last year, they had like 120 mothers and their children there. And the church just loved on them, loved on the children, loved on the mothers, told them about Jesus, loved on them, and they, on that resort. We were there, you know, a group of us went to see what's going on, and we sponsored it here from Winston-Salem. Mm-hmm. And just, it was really amazing and rewarding to see that a shoot from our dry bones, you know, like a shoot came out, you know, from the Turks. This is all Turks, you know, they're not missionaries, you know, they're like the church from the same people who were killing us there. And now the Lord is you know, you see this wonderful hope in a nation like Turkey. You know, Turkey is very, very, very dark place, you know, 800 million people. With 4,000 or 5,000 known believers, Turkish believers, 800 million Turkey is 85 million.
Yeah.
Sorry. 85 million people to like 4,000 or 5,000. But there's Iranians, around 400,000 refugees from Iran are born again Christians in Turkey. This is something you guys don't know about, you know. Mm-hmm. So there is, I mean, you know, you're not gonna hear that on Fox News. You're not gonna hear that on CNN. I'm sorry. I mean, even Fox News, you're not reporting any of that. Yeah. That we celebrate the places like, because this is toxic. Nobody wants to hear the good news.
Now, what is that country that's on it's the southern part of Turkey, but it's northern Iran and that area up there. There's a Christian group up. I mean, the country is fairly Christian, is it not? I can't think of the name. It won't come to me.
Yeah, you're talking about Armenia, maybe? Armenia, no. Georgia.
No.
Are you talking the north of Turkey?
No, it's the south of Turkey, but north
south of Turkey. You're talking about, you know, if you're looking at south of Turkey, you have Syria. You know, Syria have a big
above Syria. Up, there was a region where they were fighting them, and the U.S. wasn't protecting them up there.
Oh yeah. Of course, you know, the Kurds. That's a lot
Kurds,
of the Kurds.
Kurds.
Yeah, lots of the Kurds. You know, you know, lots of them. Lots of them came to know the Lord, you know, Kurdistan and Kurdistan, Syria, there's a lot of them. Actually, the most, you know, prosperous, you know, church that come from Kurd, you know, they are in Iraq. And, you know, the Kurdistan, Iraq, and the area that the city is Erbil, you know, Erbil, it's a city up in northern Iraq. Where Christians, you know, I mean, they could meet freely, but still, I mean, that nightmare, ISIS, you know, they still, yeah. it's still around. It's never went.
Still there.
And people like Erdogan, you know, the Turkish president, he is a mean guy now. He's trying to, you know, hit that key, you know, that key, the note, you know, like the key. You know, for the Muslims about, you know, I'm the guy, I'm the new Khalifa, I'm the new Islamic State, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, Kaleem, we had a really nice interview with you. As we begin to wind down, perhaps Alan and Jack, we can do one more round of questions and then we can close up our podcast. Mm-hmm. My last question for you would be, if you had an opportunity to speak to Christians in America, what would you say to Christians in America based on your life experiences in the Middle East and America?
I think it's time to wake up for all the Christians, you know, and, you know, we got this COVID-19. Everybody said, run, hide. And it seems because we don't have really the church and the vision, the big vision, we didn't discern it first very well. Now, many Christians are discerning this. Okay, yes, it's a disease. Yes, it's killing some. But for us, you know, no hiding. The world is going and spiraling into darkness. Our streets, you know, like the fatherless, the widows, you know, I mean, come to East Winston, you guys. And, you know, that's most of my gas stations. I didn't have the best gas stations in town. They are the best gas station in town. And I love my gas stations because my gas stations, okay?
We get a discount?
We don't even have lottery there. When we do business, we don't have lottery. We don't have lottery in any of our stores because we feel it's gambling, you know?
Yes.
Even though lottery means a lot to us. So we love our neighborhoods. We have gas stations on Martin Luther, Wotown, you know, and we love our neighbors. We've been there, but I think the church has to show up too.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, my last question was going to be in that realm of, as a Christian businessman, what do you see are some of the challenges and some of the blessings of running a business like that here in America?
Billy Graham, on his deathbed, shared something with my good friend. His name is Frank Harrison III. That's my good friend. He is the Coca-Cola president and CEO. He told him, the next revival will come from the businessman, okay? The next revival in the United States will come through the businessman. I kind of believe that. We are called, we're priests. Okay, yeah, I'm a priest, but I had to work. I go to work, you know, because the church and the way we are disorganized, the organized church, I love that church, the way we organized it, it's not, we're not, you know, dipping deep into the resources we have, okay? And we have the businessmen, we didn't treat them well in the church. You know, praise God, deacons, you know, the ushers, everybody is beautiful. But we are gifted. We have more gifts. I didn't become successful businessman because I don't have gifts. I became successful businessman because I have gifts and I want to give it to the Lord. I want to use my gifts, not only to make money, because that's what happened to us in the church. That's why we are where we are, because we have these wonderful guys. They're saying, oh yeah, go make money, give us the money. No. We want your money and we want your gifts. We want your money, we want your gifts. And that's what's required right now. We need to step out. We need to step out.
Amen.
I need to introduce you to some people at Calvary, some businessmen that are doing a lot of this overseas missions. In fact, there are some that's been involved in Jordan. So we'll get a chance.
I know some of them.
I'm sure you probably do.
Oh, yeah. So. I know lots of them. Actually, you know, your ex mission pastor,
Steve Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, come on, this brother, man. He told me stories. He used to go to Lebanon under fire, like in these wonderful ships from Cyprus to Beirut. You know.
Yeah.
Going in these ships at night, where the Muslims firing at them. We used to be part of that ship, people. We used to be the Christians who was running these ships, you know.
The question that I've got, and it's really not a question, I guess I would like for you to, I don't know if it was Herb or Jack, you were in contact with, but a list of the prayer requests that you talked about. And so that we can begin praying about those things and your vision of what you see that are in the next year. Of what some things that need to be done and whatever information on your organization that you do have through New Canaan or what you've got now, so that we can get that information out to people that might be willing to donate and to help with that, or Amen. volunteer. So I'd like to see you yep. get that done, and we'll try to get that information out to certainly to our class, but also to those that would call in or want to know about the podcast and information about you and your ministry.
Yeah, thank you, brother. You know, it's of course, when he said go to the whole world, he yeah. said go to the whole world, to everyone.
Yeah.
He didn't say, oh, you know, the 0.001%. So we are all called to go. Sometime I can, you know, we're planning on a trip right now in September to back to Lebanon, you know, and we're, you know, there's quarantines. Anyway, that's another story. But what I'm trying to say, you know, it's when he said, you go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and end of the world. He said, and he didn't say or.
Yeah.
So we are called to all these places. We want to be the end to the end of the world, you know, yeah. and we want your support. You know, we right now is pivotal time. So our partners can stay on the land, because what happened when you take the light out, it become dark. We have a little bit of lights in the Middle East. We have to keep them there. Yeah. We have to keep them lights, you know, the preaching stations, the gospel, you know, saying Jesus to this dying world, millions are perishing. I've been to cities where have 50 Christians to like 3 million Muslims, 50 Christians and like three of them active. Places like Adana in southern Turkey, 3 million people living there, 50 non-believers, 3 active in the church. Can you imagine that? We need hands, we need feet, we need money, we need everything. That's the prayer, brother. You know, so, you know, guess what? Earlier at COVID-19, our mission organization pulled almost 90%. I embedded that too. You know, pulled almost 90% of their missionaries from the ground. And they said, come back home. We're like, what do you mean come back home? Yeah. We're leaving these places to be dark. It's already dark. And that's why if you notice, it's a little bit darker. It's becoming a little bit darker.
Yeah.
Can't hide the light.
No bushel you know? Baskets.
Well, Kaleem, on behalf of Three Men for Thee, we really want to thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to share with us. Your thoughts are certainly inspirational. Your words are encouraging to every Christian that will listen to this. And again, thank you very, very much. Want to remind our listeners that our next podcast will be interviewing Dan Upchurch, a missionary who is with the Ukrainian Baptist Theological Seminary in Lviv, Ukraine. So we're going to get the Ukrainian perspective on church planning and mission work coming out of that country there as well. So again, Kaleem, thank you.
Thank you, brother.
Three Men for Thee.
Thank you, guys. You have a beautiful day.
God bless you.
Bless you.
You too.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.